Good morning. Would you please open up your Bible to Philippians chapter 2 with me as we look at these verses together? We're going to look at a short passage this morning from Philippians chapter 2 as we continue through this important book. And this morning we're going to look at just two verses, but two very, very interesting verses. Chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Here's what Paul says. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Pray with me, please. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it never changes. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God endures forever. Lord, we pray that it would endure not only here on this page, but in our lives. And we pray this morning that you would open up the scriptures to us so that we can understand them and live them out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to start with a question for you this morning. How many of you have ever come across a piece of scripture, a verse, a passage, whatever it might be, that you didn't understand? Raise your hand. All right, about 80% raise their hands, and the other 20% are just lying. So, works out. The math always works out, you know? Occasionally, you will come across a piece of scripture, I don't care how mature you are in the faith, that you won't understand. And there are just some places and pieces of scripture that are difficult. Sometimes, you even come across a piece of scripture that doesn't seem consistent with other things you find in the scripture. And you read one verse and you say, well, that doesn't make sense because it seems to contradict something I read over here. And so how do we put those things together? It's important to remember a couple of things. First of all, if God's word is true, then it's true in all of its parts. And therefore, all of those parts must fit together consistently. Because if they didn't fit together consistently, then that would mean part of it wouldn't be true. And so if God's word is true, it must fit together somehow, and it must be consistent. But sometimes it doesn't seem that way. And so it's important to remember that when we come to a piece of scripture that seems problematic or inconsistent, the problem is probably not with the Bible. The problem is probably with my limited, finite understanding. I'm a human being. I'm a finite person. I can't understand all of the truths that God understands. And so that's an important thing to remember as we look at this passage today, because this passage, I'm going to argue, is the hardest passage in Philippians to understand. Paul says in verse 12, strange words. He says, "Work." I think this is actually verse 13, the second half of what we read. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now that's a strange verse, because when Paul says, work out your own salvation, he literally is saying here, and the Greek literally means to bring about your salvation. To work it out, to bring it about, to bring it into existence. So you read a passage like that and you say, that doesn't make any sense because I thought salvation wasn't something I could bring about by my own works. I didn't think it was something I could achieve myself. I thought it was totally by God's grace. So now why is he telling me to work out my salvation? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And if that wasn't enough, Paul seems to contradict himself just in these two verses because he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And then he follows it up with this statement, for it is God who works in you. Well, which one is it, Paul? Is it me working it out or is it God working it out? He can't seem to make up his mind here. So what is it? How do we understand these verses? And they are strange verses and they've tied a lot of people's brains in a knot. But I think we can begin to unpack it this morning. And I'm going to ask three questions that I think will help us unpack these verses. We're going to untie them. The first question is, if Paul calls us to work out our salvation, does that mean then that our salvation is based upon our works or our ability to bring this about? That's question number one. Question number two is, if Paul calls us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, does that mean then we should be in fear of losing our salvation if we don't work hard enough? Should we be afraid of it, of losing it, if we don't work it out hard enough? And thirdly, last question is, what is the relationship between God's working and my working in terms of salvation? So let's explore each one of these questions together. First question, if Paul calls us to work out our salvation, does that mean our salvation is based upon works? Now, in order to understand this question and to answer it, you have to understand a very important principle for reading the Bible. And this is a great principle if you're just a beginner reading the Bible, or if you're an expert, it's a great principle to remember when you're reading it. And the principle is this: Scripture is its own interpreter. Another way of saying that is that Scripture always interprets Scripture. So when you come across a verse that doesn't seem to make sense or it's unclear, go to another place in Scripture that talks about the same thing and see what that says. Because sometimes what's unclear in one place will be very clear in another place, and so we can interpret what's unclear in light of what is clear. Because remember, if the Bible all fits together, then we should take the things that are clear and help us understand the things that aren't clear. So Scripture is always its own interpreter. We have to remember that. Occasionally you might see some wacky person on TV or something taking a verse out of context and preaching some message that seems totally inconsistent with the Bible. Well, it probably is, because remember, the whole Bible has to fit together. And so if what they're saying is not consistent with the rest of what God's Word preaches, then it's not correct. So if we take that principle and we ask this question, what does God's Word say about salvation? Does it say salvation is based upon works? Well, let's just take a look at a couple other passages that Paul talks about. Later on in Philippians, we're going to get to this in our series, he says in chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, "For his sake," that's Christ, "I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." Paul says, I don't have a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. I don't have a salvation that comes from working in my own works, but it comes through faith. Pretty straightforward. How about Ephesians 2, 8 and 9? "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Pretty straightforward. He says, salvation is not your own doing. It's a gift from God, not the result of works. Or how about Galatians 2:16? "Yet we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, and so we have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified." How many people are going to be justified at the end of time by the works of the law? The answer is no one. Zero. That's an easy number to calculate. Not a single person will be saved by their works, Paul says, because by the works of the law, no one can be justified. So Scripture is very, very clear that we cannot save ourselves by our own works. We're saved by grace through Christ. This is the consistent and clear teaching. And so when we look at our passage today, in light of that, and ask, is Paul teaching that? We can answer, no, he must not be teaching that, because he teaches very clearly in other places that that can't be true. So let's move to the second question. If Paul calls us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, does this mean that we should be afraid of losing our salvation? He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Does that mean I should be in fear of losing my salvation if I don't work hard enough? Maybe I get it by grace, but then I lose it by works. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's what Paul's saying. So let's take a look again and see what Scripture says. You may remember back in the first chapter of Philippians, we looked at this just a few weeks ago. Paul says in Philippians 1:6, "I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will" what? "Bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ." In other words, those who God gives a new heart and regenerates, who are born again, he says, the work that's been started in them, he will not fail to bring it to completion. God doesn't leave unfinished projects. He always finishes what he starts. And so Paul says he will bring it to completion. How about John chapter 10? Jesus says in John 10, 27 and 28, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." If you're one of Jesus' sheep, he says, no one will snatch my sheep out of my hand. Jesus is not an irresponsible shepherd. He's not a guy who, oh, I can't keep track of my sheep. No, he knows exactly who his sheep are. He doesn't lose any of his sheep. He's the most capable shepherd that's ever existed in the history of the universe. And so you can be sure that if you are one of his sheep, he will not let go of you. We are not saved. You're not saved by a perfectly strong faith. You're saved by faith in a perfectly strong Savior. You're not saved by your strength and holding on to Jesus. You're saved by his strength and holding on to you. If you were saved by, if you were saved, if you could lose your salvation, you would. I guarantee it. If you could lose your salvation, you would. You're not capable of holding on because we're all fallen. So you're not saved by perfectly strong faith. You're saved by faith in a perfectly strong Savior. Now, this brings up a tough question, though, for many of us. And that is that many of us, in our experience with family members or friends, we've seen people who seem to have fallen away. Maybe they were appeared to be strong Christians at one point, but then they forsook their faith. They left the church and they stopped practicing Christianity. And so it seems like in our experience that this does seem to happen. And so what do we make of those situations? Well, there's another place in the scriptures that I think give us some insight into that question. And it's in the book of 1 John. When John is writing to some of the churches, he's talking to a church community in 1 John who has had that experience. They've had some people who fell away from the Christian community. They left the faith. They abandoned the faith and they left the church and they just never came back. And so the community is struggling with this question. And this is what John writes to them about this situation. It's incredibly interesting. Listen to these words. John says, they, meaning the people who left, 1 John 1:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out so that it might become plain that they are not of us. That's a really interesting verse. In other words, what John is saying there is that those who left and who left the faith, left the church, and who never came back, he said, they never were true believers to begin with. Because if they had genuine saving faith in Christ, they would never have fallen away. But the fact that they did fall away shows that they didn't actually have genuine faith in Christ. Because when you do have saving faith in Christ and you're born again, you cannot fall away because Jesus says, I will not lose a single one of my sheep. So if you fall away, then it is just showing, John says, that you weren't one of the sheep to begin with. Now, I want to be careful here. I'm not saying that everyone who leaves the church or who falls away means they're not a Christian and they're never going to be saved. I'm not saying that because we never know. Sometimes people can fall away for a period of time and repent and return, and they go through a period of life where they fall away for a time or whatever the case may be and come back. But ultimately what he's saying is that those who truly have saving faith in Christ will, in the end, continue in the faith because Jesus does not lose a single one of his sheep. You know, this is incredibly good news because it's a reminder that your security in Jesus Christ is not dependent upon your own strength. It's like I said, if you could lose your salvation, you would, but we're not saved by our own ability to work everything out perfectly, because if that were the case, not a single person would be saved. We're saved by the shepherd who does not lose a single one of his sheep. So this brings us to the final question this morning. What is the relationship between God's working and my working? We've answered a couple things that it's not, but what is it? What does Paul mean when he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling? I think, first of all, we have to ask the question, what does Paul mean by salvation here? Because as I said in an earlier sermon in this series, salvation can have multiple aspects to it. We often think of, when we hear the word salvation, we think of our conversion and the moment that we came to Christ. But Scripture uses salvation not only to refer to that, but to the ongoing process of growing in Christ and becoming more like Jesus, the process that won't be completed until he returns. That's why Paul says in Philippians 1, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion, because that salvation is a process of becoming more like Christ. So if that's the case, I think that's partially what Paul is referring to here. Not necessarily our conversion, but the working out of our salvation, the ongoing growth in becoming more like Christ that continues throughout our lives. And he says here that somehow we play a role in this process along with God. Look at the connection between verses 12 and 13. He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for or because it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. In other words, the reason we can work out our salvation is because God's already at work within us, and he has given us a new power, a new ability. We've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and so we can work out our salvation. We can strive to grow in holiness because he has made it possible. If we tried to do it on our own, we would get nowhere. But because we've been given God's power already at work within us, we can work out our salvation. We can grow in holiness. We can be sanctified. The best illustration for this, and I stole this from somebody else, and then I passed it along to Angie too, and she did a great job with that children's message this morning. The best illustration for this that I've come across is the illustration of a farmer. And Jerry Bridges, in his book called The Pursuit of Holiness, talks about this illustration of a farmer, and he says it far better than I can, so I would just want you to listen to this quote from Jerry Bridges this morning. He says this, "A farmer plows his field, sows the seed, and fertilizes and cultivates, all the while knowing that in the final analysis, he's utterly dependent on forces outside himself. He knows he cannot cause the seed to germinate, nor can he produce the rain and sunshine for growing and harvesting the crop. For a successful harvest, he's dependent upon these things from God. Yet, the farmer knows that unless he diligently pursues his responsibilities to plow and to plant and fertilize and cultivate, he cannot expect a harvest at the end of the season. In a sense, he's in a partnership with God, and he will reap its benefits only when he has fulfilled his own responsibilities. Farming is a joint venture between God and the farmer. The farmer cannot do what God must do, and God will not do what the farmer should do. We can say just as accurately that the pursuit of holiness is a joint venture between God and the Christian. No one can attain any degree of holiness without God working in his life, but just as surely no one will attain it without effort on his own part. God has made it possible for us to walk in holiness, but he has given us the responsibility of doing the walking. He does not do that for us." Isn't that a great illustration? The farmer knows that without God, he's not going to get anywhere. But he doesn't just sit on his behind and say, "Okay, God, bring in the crops." He goes out and he knows that I have to get out there and plow the field or nothing's going to happen. At the end of the day, he knows it's not all dependent upon him, but he knows that he has to work in order for there to be fruit, for it to produce anything. So just as the farmer knows that his vitality, his productivity is dependent upon God, our spiritual vitality is also dependent upon God, but it's also dependent upon us. And so we can say with accuracy that at the end of the day, if we fail to grow in holiness and righteousness, we have no one to blame but ourselves. But if we succeed in growing in righteousness and holiness, we have no one to thank but God. I want to say that again. If we fail, we have no one to blame but ourselves, but if we succeed, we have no one to thank but God. Because it's God who works in you both to will and to work according to his good pleasure. He's the one who gives you the ability to will and to work according to his good pleasure. Without that, you wouldn't have the ability. You'd just have nothing. But God gives it to you. And so Paul says, respond with fear and trembling. You've got the Holy Spirit and the power of God, and you have access to that. Don't respond to that casually. Respond with fear and trembling. Say, "Yes, Lord, I want to grow in holiness. I want to grow in righteousness. I'm going to work out this salvation that you have made possible and that you're already at work within me and accomplishing." At the end of the day, the amazing thing that we discover, and I'm sure many of you have discovered this in the Christian life, is that the more that you grow in holiness, the more you realize that it's God who's working within you and that you could never have done it by yourself. The more you grow, the more you realize it's not me, but it's God who is working in me. And he's the one who gives me the grace from start to finish to be able to do it. Let me close with one more scripture. This is a passage from 2 Peter, and I think it says essentially the exact same thing that Paul was telling us this morning, but in just a little different words. Listen to what 2 Peter 1 says. Verse 3, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Then jumping down to verse 10, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we stand before you today with thankfulness, thankful hearts. Lord, we thank you first and foremost that you provided salvation through the cross. Lord, we thank you that we are not saved by our works, but we're saved by your grace. We thank you for that, Lord, because if we were saved by our works, none of us would even have the ability to be saved. And so we thank you for the riches of your grace that have been poured out upon us. Lord, we thank you that you promise that those who trust in you and have faith in you, that we will not be at risk of losing our salvation because you hold tightly to your sheep. And you will not lose a single one of your sheep. And therefore, we can trust that we have a perfectly strong Savior and that it's by your strength, not ours, that we will persevere. And so, Lord, as we understand these truths, help us then to respond with fear and trembling and to say, yes, Lord, I want to work out this salvation and I want to grow to become more like Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you have made us new creations and filled us with the Holy Spirit so that we can walk in newness of life. And I pray that each one of us, both this day and every day, would not only be reminded of that, but would be given a passion and a fire to live this out. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We praise you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.